Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Section 39 of the Nibelungenlied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 37th Adventure, How the Margrave Rudiger Was Slain. At morning light the strangers had wrought high deed of fame, when the spouse of Gotelinda unto the courtyard came. To behold on both sides such woe befallen there, might not refrain from weeping, sorely the faithful Rudiger. "Oh, woe is me," exclaimed he, "that ever I was born! Alack that this great sorrow no hand from us may turn. Though I be ne'er so willing, the king no peace will know, for he beholds the sorrow ever great and greater grow." Then did the kindly Rudiger unto Dietrich send, "If to the lofty monarchs they yet might truce extend, the knight of Bearn gave message, how might such thing be? For ne'er the royal Etzel granteth to end it peacefully." When a Hunnish warrior saw standing Rudiger, as from eyes sore weeping, fell full many a tear, to his royal mistress spake he, "Behold, how stands he there, with whom here by Etzel none other may and might compare, and who commandeth service of lands and people all, how many lordly castles Rudiger his own doth call, that unto him hath given the bounty of the king. Not yet in valorous conflict sawst thou here his sword to swing. Methinks, but little recks he, what may here betide, since now in fullest measure his heart is satisfied. 'Tis told he is surpassing all men forsooth so keen, but in this time of trials his valor ill displayed hath been." Stood there full of sorrow the brave and faithful man, yet whom he thus heard speaking he cast his eyes upon. Thought he, "Thou makest atonement, who deem'st my metal cold, thy thought here all too loudly hast thou unto the people told." His fist thereat he doubled, and upon him ran, and smote with blows so mighty their king Etzel's man, that prone before him straightway fell that mocker dead. So came but greater sorrow on the royal Etzel's head. "Hence, thou basest caitiff," cried then Rudiger, "here of pain and sorrow enough I have to bear. Wherefore wilt thou taunt me that I the combat shun? In sooth had I the utmost of harm upon the strangers done. For that good reason have I to bear them hate indeed, but that myself the warriors as friends did hither lead. Yea, was I their safe escort into my master's land, so may I, man most wretched, ne'er raise against them hostile hand." Then spake the lofty Etzel unto the Margrave, "What aid, O noble Rudiger, here at thy hands we have. Our country hath so many, already doomed to die. We need not any other. Now hast thou wrought full wrongful eye." Returned the knight so noble, "My heart he sore hath grieved, and reproached me for high honors, at the hand received, and eke for gifts unto me, by thee so freely made. Dearly for his slander hath the base traducer paid. When had the queen come hither, and had likewise seen how on the Hunnish warrior his wrath had vented been, incontinent she mourned it, and tears bedimmed her sight. Spake she unto Rüdiger, "How dost thou now our love requite? That for me and thy master thou bringest increase of woe? Now hast thou, noble Rüdiger, ever told us so, that thou life and honor for our sake wouldst dare? Eke heard I thanes full many proclaim thee knight beyond compare. Of the oath I now remind thee that thou to me didst swear, when counsel first thou gavest to Etzel's land to fare, that thou wouldst truly serve me till one of us were deed. Of that I, wretched woman, never stood so sore in need. Nor do I, royal mistress, deny that so I swear, that I for thy well-being would life and honor dare, but eke my soul to forfeit, that swear I not indeed, 'tis I thy royal brothers hither to this land did lead." Quoth she, "Bethink thee, Rüdiger, of thy fidelity, an oath once firmly plighted, that aught of harm to me should ever be avenged, and righted every ill." Replied thereto the Margrave, "Ne'er have I failed to work thy will." Etzel, the mighty monarch, to implore him then began, and king and queen together down knelt before their man, whereat the good Margrave was seen in sorest plight, and gan to mourn his station, in piteous words, the faithful knight. "O woe is me, most wretched," he sorrow-stricken cried, "that forced I am my honor thus to set aside, and bonds of faith and friendship God hath imposed on me. O thou that rulest in heaven, come death, I cannot yet be free. Whate'er it be my effort to do or leave undone, I break both faith and honor in doing either one. But leave I both, all people will cry me worthy scorn. May he look down in mercy who bade me wretched man be born." With many a prayer besought him the king and eke his spouse, wherefore was many a warrior soon doomed his life to lose. At hand of noble Rüdiger, when eke did die the thane, now hear ye how he bore him, though filled his heart with sorest pain. He knew how scathed did wait him, and boundless sorrowing, and gladly had refused to obey the king, and eke his royal mistress full sorely did he fear, that if one stranger slew he, the scorn of all the world he'd bear. Then spake unto the monarch the full gallant thane, "O royal sire, whatever thou gavest, take again, the land and every castle that naught remained to me. On foot, a lonely pilgrim, I'll wander to a far country." Thereto replied King Etzel, "Who then gave help to me? My land and lordly castles give I all to thee. If on my foes, O Rüdiger, revenge thou wilt provide, a mighty monarch seated shalt thou be by Etzel's side." Again gave answer Rüdiger, "How may that ever be? At my own home shared they my hospitality. Meat and drink I offered to them in friendly way, and gave them of my bounty. How shall I seek them here to slay? The folk belike will fancy that I a coward be. Ne'er hath faithful service been refused by me unto the noble princes and their warriors too, that ere I gained their friendship, now 'tis cause for me to rue. For spouse unto Sir Gisselher gave I a daughter mine, nor into fairer keeping might I her resign, where truth were sought in honor and gentle courtesy. Ne'er saw I thane so youthful, virtuous in mind as he." Again gave answer Kriemhild, "O noble Rüdiger, to me and royal Etzel, and mercy, now give ear, for sorrows that o'erwhelm us. Bethink thee, I implore, that monarch never any harbored so evil guests before. Spake and turned the Margrave unto the monarch's wife, Rudiger requital must make today with life, for that thou and my master did me so true befriend. Therefore must I perish, now must my service find an end. E'en this day well know I, my castles and my land must surely lose their master beneath a stranger's hand. To thee my wife and children commend I for thy care, and with all the lorn ones that wait by Beccalaran's towers fair. Now God reward thee, Rudiger, thereat King Etzel quoth. He and the queen together, right joyful were they both. To us shall all thy people full commended be. Eke trow I by my fortune, no harm shall here befall to thee. For their sake he ventured, soul and life to lose. Thereat fell sore to weeping the royal Etzel's spouse. He spake, I must unto you my plighted word fulfill. Alack, beloved strangers, whom to assail forbids my will. From the king their parting, ye saw him sad of mood, and passed unto his warriors, who at small distance stood. Don straightway now your armor, my warriors all, quoth he. Alas, must I to battle with the valiant knights of Burgundy. Then straightway for their armor did the warriors call, a shining helm for this one, for that a shield full tall. Soon did the nimble squires before them ready hold. Anon came saddest tidings unto the stranger warriors bold. With Rudiger there saw ye 500 men arrayed, and noble thanes a dozen that came unto his aid, thinking in storm of battle to win them honor high. In sooth, but little knew they how death awaited them so nigh. With helm on head advancing, saw ye Sir Rudiger, swords that cut full keenly, the Margrave's men did bear, and eke in hand each carried a broad shield shining bright. Boundless was the fiddler's sorrow to behold the sight. When saw the youthful Giselher his bride's sire go, thus with fastened helmet, how might he ever know what he therewith did purpose, if 'twere not only good? Thereat the noble monarchs right joyous might ye see of mood. I joy for friends so faithful, spake Giselher the thane, as on our journey hither we for ourselves did gain. Full great shall be our vantage that I found spouse so dear, and high my heart rejoiceth that plighted thus to wed we were. Small cause I see for comfort, thereto the minstrel spake, when saw ye thanes so many, come a truce to make, with helmet firmly fastened, and bearing sword in hand. By scathe to us will Rudiger service do for tower and land. The while that thus the fiddler had spoken to the end, his way the noble Rudiger unto the hall did wend. His trusty shield he rested on the ground before his feet, yet might he never offer his friends in kindly way to greet. Loudly the noble Margrave cried into the hall, now guard you well, ye valiant Nibelung and all. From me ye should have profit, now have ye harm from me. But late we plighted friendship, broken now these vows must be. Then quailed to hear such tidings those knights in sore distress, for none there was among them but did joy the less that he would battle with them, for whom great love they bore. At hand of foes already had they suffered travail sore. Now God in heaven forfend it, there King Gunther cried, that from mercy to us thou so wilt turn aside, and the faithful friendship whereof hope had we. I trow in sooth that never may such thing be done by thee. Desist therefrom I may not, the keen knight made reply, but now must battle with you, for vow thereto gave I. Now guard you, gallant warriors, as fear ye life to lose. From plighted vow release me, will nevermore King Etzel spouse. Too late thou turn'st against us, spake King Gunther there. Now might God requite thee, O noble Rudiger, for the faith and friendship thou didst on us bestow, if thou a heart more kindly, even to the end wouldst show. We'd ever make requital for all that thou didst give. I and all my kinsmen, wouldst thou but let us live, for thy gifts full stately, as faithfully thou here, to Etzel's land didst lead us. Know that, O noble Rudiger. To me what pleasure were it, Rudiger did say, with full hand of my treasure, unto you to weigh, and with a mind right willing, as was my hope to do. Thus might no man reproach me with lack of courtesy to you. Turn yet, O noble Rudiger, Gernot spake again, for in so gracious manner did never entertain any host the stranger, as we were served by thee, and live we yet a little, shall thou well requited be. O would to God, full noble, Gernot spake Rudiger, that ye were at Rhine River, and that dead I were, with somewhat saved of honor, since I must be your foe. Upon good knights was never wrought by friends more bitter woe. No, God requite thee, Rudiger, Gernot gave reply, for gifts so fair bestowed, I rue to see thee die, for that in thee shall perish, knight of so gentle mind. Here thy sword I carry, that gav'st thou me in friendship kind. It never yet hath failed me, in this hour's sorest need, and neath its cutting edges, many a knight lies deed. 'Tis strong and bright of luster, cunning wrought and well, I ween whate'er was given, by knight it doth in worth excel. And wilt thou now give over, upon us here to fall, and if one friend thou slayest, here yet within this hall, with this same sword thou gavest, I'll take from thee thy life. I sorrow for thee, Rudiger, and eke thy fair and stately wife. Would God but give, Sir Gernot, that such thing might be, that thou will completely here fulfilled might see, and of thy friends not any here his life should lose. Yea, shalt thou live to comfort both my daughter and my spouse. Then outspake of Burgundy, the son of Ute Fair, how dost thou so, Sir Rudiger, all that with me e'er, to thee are well disposed, thou dost an evil thing, and wilt thine own fair daughter to widowhood too early bring. If thou with armed warriors wilt thus assail me here, in what unfriendly manner thou makest to appear, how that in thee I trusted beyond all men beside, when thy fairest daughter erstwhile I won to be my bride. Thy good faith remember, O prince of virtue rare, if God from hence do bring thee, so spake Rudiger, forsake thou not the maiden when bereft of me, but rather grant thy goodness be dealt to her more graciously. That would I do full fairly, spake Giselher again. But if my lofty kinsmen, who yet do here remain, beneath thy hand shall perish, severed then must be the friendship true I cherish, eke for thy daughter and for thee. Then God, to give us mercy, the knight full valiant spake. Their shields in hand then took they, as hooper force would make, their passage to the strangers, into Kriemhild's hall, adown the stair full loudly, did Hagen knight of Tranya call. Tarry yet a little, O noble Rudiger, for further would we parley, thus mighty Hagenheir. I and my royal masters, as presseth sorest need, what might it boot to Etzel, that we strangers all lay deed? Great is here my trouble, Hagen did declare. The shield that Lady Godelinda gave to me to bear hath now been hewn asunder by Hunmen in my hand, With friendly thought I bore it hither into Etzel's land. Would that God in heaven might grant in kindliness that I a shield so trusty did for my own possess, as in thy hand thou bearest, O noble Rudiger. In battle storm then need I never hauberk more to wear. Full glad I'd prove my friendship to thee with mine own shield, dared I the same to offer before Lady Kriemhild. But take it, natheless, Hagen, and bear it in thy hand. Would that thou mightst take it again into Burgundian land. When with mine so willing he offered him his shield, saw ye how eyes full many with scalding tears were filled. For the last gift was it that was offered e'er unto any warrior by Beckelaren's Margrave Rudiger. How grim soe'er was Hagen, and stern soe'er of mind, that gift to pity moved him, that there the chieftain kind, so near his latest moment, did on him bestow, from eyes of many another, began likewise the tears to flow. Now God in heaven requite thee, O noble Rudiger, like unto thee none other, warrior was their heir, unto knights all friendless, so bounteously to give. God grant in his mercy thy virtue evermore to live. Woe's me to hear such tiding, Hagen did declare, such load of grief abiding, already do we bear. If we with friends must struggle, to God our plaint must be. Thereto replied the Margrave, 'tis cause of sorrow sore to me. To pay thee for thy favor, O noble Rudiger, howe'er these lofty warriors themselves against thee bear, yet never thee in combat here shall touch my hand, ain't though complete thou slayest them from out Burgundian land. Thereat the lofty Rudiger for him did courteous bend, on all sides was lamenting that no man might end these so great heart sorrows that sorely they must bear. The father of all virtue fell with noble Rudiger. Then eke the minstrel Volker from hall down glancing said, since Hagen thus my comrade peace with thee hath made, lasting truce thou likewise receivest from my hand, well hast thou deserved it, as fared we hither to this land. Thou, O noble Margrave, my messenger shalt be, these armbands ready golden thy lady gave to me, that here at this high festival I the same should wear. Now mayst thyself behold them, and of my faith a witness bear. Would God but grant, spake Rudiger, who ruleth high in heaven, that to thee by my lady might further gift be given. I'll gladly tell thy tidings to spouse full dear to me, and I but live to see her, from doubt thereof thou mayst be free. When thus his word was given, his shield raised Rudiger, nigh to madness driven, boding no longer there, but ran upon the strangers like to a valiant knight. Many a blow full rapid smote the Margrave in his might. Volker and Hagen made way before the thane, as before had promised to him the warriors twain. Yet found he by the portal so many a valiant man, that Rudiger the combat with mickle boding sore began. Gunther and Gernot, with murderous intent, led him past the portal as knights on victory bent. Backward yielded Giselher, with sorrow all undone. He hoped to live yet longer, and therefore Rudiger would shun. Straight upon their enemies the Margrave's warriors sprung, and following their master was seen a valiant throng. Swords with cutting edges did they in strong arm wield, neath which full many a helmet was cleft and many a fair wrought shield. The weary strangers likewise smote many a whirring slash, wherefrom the men of Beckelaren felt deep and long the gash, through the shining ring mail, e'en to their life's core. In storm of battle wrought they glorious deeds a many more. all his trusty followers, now Ekhed gained the hall, on whom Volker and Hagen did soon in fury fall, and mercy unto no man, save Rüdiger, they showed, the blood adown through helmets, where smote their swords, full plenteous flowed. How right furiously were swords gainst armor driven, on shields the well-wrought mountings, from their wards were riven, and fell their jeweled facings, all scattered in the blood. Ne'er again might warriors show in fight so grim a mood. The lord of Beccalaran through foemen cut his way, as doth each doughty warrior in fight as might display. On that day did Rüdiger show full plain that he, a hero, was undaunted, full bold and eke full praiseworthy. Stood there two knights right gallant, Gunther and Gernot, and in the storm of battle to death full many smote, eke Giselher and Dankwart. Never aught recked they, how many a lusty fighter saw neath their hand his latest day. Full well did show him Rüdiger, a knight of mettle true, doughty in goodly armor, what warriors there he slew, beheld it a Burgundian, and cause for wrath was there. Not longer now was distant the death of noble Rüdiger. Gernot, knight full doughty, addressed the margrave then, thus speaking to the hero, wilt thou of all my men, living leave not any, O noble Rüdiger, that gives me grief unmeasured, the sight I may not longer bear. Now must thy gift unto me prove thy sorest bane, since of my friends so many thou from me hast ta'en. Now hither turn to front me, thou bold and noble knight, as far as might may bear me, I trust to pay thy gift aright. Ere that full the margrave might make his way to him, must rings of glancing mail coats with flowing blood grow dim. Then sprang upon each other those knights on honor bent, and each from wounds deep cutting sought to keep him all unshent. Their swords cut so keenly that might withstand them note. With mighty arm Sir Rüdiger Gernot then smote through the flint-hard helmet that downward flowed the blood. Therefore repaid him quickly the knight of keen and valiant mood. The gift he had of Rüdiger high in hand he swung, and though to death was wounded, he smote with blow so strong that the good shield was cloven and welded helmet through. The spouse of fair Gotelinda then his latest breath he drew. In sooth, so sad requital found rich bounty ne'er. Slain fell they both together, Gernot and Rüdiger, alike in storm of battle, each by the other's hand. Sore was the wrath of Hagen when he the harm did understand. Cried there the lord of Tranya, great is here our loss, in death of these two heroes, such scathe befalleth us. Wherefore land and people shall repine, for the warriors of Rüdiger must now to us the forfeit pay. Alack for this my brother, snatched by death this day, what host of woes unbidden encompass me alway. Eke must I moan it ever that noble Rüdiger fell. Great is the scathe to both sides, and great the sorrowing as well. When then beheld Sir Giselher his lover's sire deed, must all that with him followed suffer direst need. Their death was busy seeking to gather in his train, and of the men of Beccalaran came forth not one alive again. Gunther and Giselher, and with them Hagen too, Dankwart and Volker, doughty thanes and true, went where found they lying the two warriors slain, nor at the sight the heroes might their grief and tears restrain. Death robbeth us right sorely, spake young Sir Giselher, yet now give o'er your weeping, and let us seek the air, that the ringed mail grow cooler on us storm weary mean. God in sooth will grant us not longer here to live, I ween. here sitting and there leaning, was seen full many a thane, resting once more from combat, the while that all lay slain. The followers of Rudiger, hushed was the battle's din, at length grew angry Etzel, that stillness was so long within. Alack for such a service, spake the monarch's wife, for never 'tis so faithful that our foes with life must to us make payment at Rudiger's hand. He thinks in sooth to lead them again unto Burgundian land. What boots it, royal Etzel, that we did ever share with him what he desired? The knight doth evil there. He that should avenge us, the same a truce doth make. Thereto the stately warrior, Volker, in answer spake. Alas, 'tis no such case here, O high and royal dame. Dared I but give the lie to one of thy lofty name, thou hast in fiendish manner Rudiger belied. He and all his warriors have laid all thoughts of truce aside. With so good heart obeyed he his royal master's will, that he and all his followers here in death lie still. Look now about thee, Kriemhild, who may thy hests attend. Rudiger, the hero, hath served thee faithful to the end. Wilt thou my words believe not, to thee shall clear be shown, to cause her heart a sorrow, there the thing was done. Wound gashed, they bore the hero, where him the king might see, unto the thane of Etzel, ne'er might so great sorrow be. When did they, the margrave, a course on bier behold, by chronicler might never written be nor told, all the while lamenting of women and of men, as with grief all stricken, outpoured they the heart's sorrow then. Royal Etzel's sorrow there did know no bound, like to the voice of lion, echoing rang the sound of the king's loud weeping, wherein the queen had share. Unmeasured they lamented the death of noble Rudiger. End of section 39. Section 40 of the Nibelungenlied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 38th Adventure, How All Sir Dietrich's Knights Were Slain. On all sides, so great sorrow, heard ye there around, that palace and high tower did from the wail resound. Of Bairn, a man of Dietrich, eke the same did hear, and speedily he hastened the tidings to his lord to bear. Spake he unto his master, Sir Dietrich, give me ear, what yet hath been my fortune, never did I hear, lamenting past all measure, as at this hour hath been, scathe unto King Etzel, himself hath happened, I ween. Else how might they ever all show such dire need? The king himself for Kriemhild, one of them lieth deed, by the doughty strangers, for sake of vengeance slain. Unmeasured is the weeping, a full many a stately thane. Then spake of Baron Sir Dietrich, ye men to me full dear, now haste ye not unduly, the deeds performed here, by the stranger warriors, show sore necessity, that peace with them I blighted, let it now their profit be. Then spake the valiant Wolfhart, thither will I run, to make question of it, what they now have done, and straight will tidings bring thee, masterful dear to me, when yonder I inform me, whence may so great lamenting be? Answer gave Sir Dietrich, fear they hostility, the while uncivil questioning of their deed there be, lightly are stirred to anger, good warriors o'er the thing. Yea, 'tis my pleasure, Wolfhart, thou sparest them all such questioning. Helfrich, he then commanded, thither with speed to go, that from men of Etzel he might truly know, or from the strangers straightway, what thing there had been, as that so sore lamenting of people ne'er before was seen. Questioned then the messenger, what hath here been wrought? Answered one among them, complete is come to naught. What of joy we cherished here in Hunnish land? Slain here lieth Rudiger, fallen neath Burgundian hand. Of them that entered with him, not one doth longer live. Naught might ever happen, Helfrich more to grieve, nor ever told he tidings so ruefully before. Weeping sore the message unto Dietrich then he bore. What the news thou bring'st us? Dietrich spake once more. Yet, O doughty Helfrich, wherefore dost weep so sore? Answered the noble warrior, with right may I complain. Yonder faithful Rudiger lieth by the Burgundian slain. The Lord of Bearn gave answer, God let not such thing be. That were a mighty vengeance, and eke the devil's glee, whereby had ever Rudiger from them deserved such ill. Well know I to the strangers was ever well disposed his will. Thereto gave answer Wolfhart, in sooth have they this done, therefore their lives shall forfeit, surely every one, and make we not requital, our shame for aye it were. Full manifold our service from hand of noble Rudiger. Then bade the Lord of Amelungen the case more full to learn. He sat within a casement and did full sadly mourn. He played then that Hildebrand unto the strangers go, that he from their own telling of the case complete might know. The warrior, keen in battle, master Hildebrand, neither shield nor weapon bore he in his hand, but would in chivalrous manner unto the strangers go. His sister's son reviled him, that he would venture thus to do. Spake in anger Wolfhart, goest thou all weaponless? Must I of such action free my thought confess? Thou shalt in shameful fashion hither come again. Goest thou armed thither, will all from harm to thee refrain. So armed himself the old man, at counsel of the young, ere he was ware of it, into their armor sprung, all of Dietrich's warriors, and stood with sword in hand. Grieved he was, and gladly had turned them Master Hildebrand. He asked them whither would they the company weal bear, so may perchance less willing Hagen of Tronje dare, as so oft his custom to give thee mocking word. The thane his leave did grant them, at last when he their speech had heard. Keen Volker saw approaching, in armor all arrayed, of Bearn the gallant warriors, that Dietrich's word obeyed, with sword at girdle hanging, and bearing shield in hand. Straight he told the tidings to his masters of Burgundian land. Spake the doughty fiddler, yonder see I come near the warriors of Dietrich, all clad in battle gear, and decked their heads with helmets, as if our harm they mean. For us knights here homeless approacheth evil end, I ween. Meanwhile was come anigh them Master Hildebrand. Before his foot he rested the shield he bore in hand, and soon began to question the men of Gunther there. Alack, ye gallant warriors, what harm hath wrought you, Rudiger? Me did my master Dietrich hither to you command, if now the noble Margrave hath fallen neath the hand of any knight among you, as word to us is borne, such a mighty sorrow might we never cease to mourn. Then spake of Tronje Hagen, true is the tale ye hear, though glad I were if to you had lied the messenger, and if the faithful Rudiger still his life might keep, for whom both man and woman must ever now in sorrow weep. When they forsooth the passing of the hero knew, those gallant knights bemoaned him like faithful friends and true. On Dietrich's lusty warriors saw ye fall the tear, adown the bearded visage, for sad of heart in truth they were. Of Bairn, then a chieftain, Siegstab further cried, of all the mickle comfort, now and end, is mide, that Rudiger erst prepared us, after our days of pain, the joy of exiled people, here lieth by you, warriors slain. Then spake of Amelungen, the thane Wulfine, if that this day beheld I, Deadane, sire of mine, no more might be my sorrow, than for this hero's life. Alack, who bringeth comfort now to the noble Margrave's wife? Spake eke in angry humor, Wolfhart, a stalwart thane, who now shall lead our army on the far campaign. As full oft the Margrave of old hath led our host. Alack, O noble Rudiger, that in such manner thee we've lost. Wulfbrand and Helfrich, and Helmnot with warriors all, morted there together, that he in death must fall, for sobbing might not further question Hildebrand. He spake, now do ye warriors, according to my lord's command. Yield unto us, Rudigers, course from out the hall, in whose death to sorrow hath passed our pleasure all, and let us do him service for friendship true of yore, that e'er for us he cherished, and eke for many a stranger more. We two from home are exiles, like unto Rudiger. Why keep ye us here waiting? Him grant us hence to bear, that e'en though death hath reft him, our service he receive, though fairer had we paid it, the wild hero yet did leave. Thereto spake King Gunther, no service equal may, that which when death hath reft him, to friend a friend doth pay. Him deem I friend right faithful, whoe'er the same may do. Well make ye here requital for many a service unto you. How long shall we beseech you, spake Wulfhart the thane, since he that best consoled us by you now lieth slain, and we, alas, no longer his living aid may have. Grant us hence to bear him, and lay the hero in his grave. Thereto answered Volker, thy prayer shall all deny. From out the hall thou take him, where doth the hero lie, neath deep wounds and mortal, in blood now smitten down, so may by thee best service here to Rudiger be shown. Answered Wulfhart boldly, Sir Fiddleman, God wot, thou shalt forbear to stir us, for woe on us thou'st wrought. Durst I despite my master, uncertain were thy life, yet must we here keep silence, for he did bid us shun the strife. Then spake again the fiddler, 'tis all too much of fear, for that a thing's forbidden, meekly to forbear. Scarce may I deem it valor, worthy good knight to tell, what said his faithful comrade did please the doughty Hagen well. For proof be not o'er eager, Wulfhart quick replied, else so I'll tune thy fiddle, that when again ye ride afar unto Rhine River, sad tale thou tellest there, thy haughty words no longer may I now with honor bear. Spake once more the fiddler, if e'er the harmony of my fiddle strings thou breakest, thy helmet's sheen shall be made full dim of luster by stroke of this my hand, howe'er fall out my journey homeward to Burgundian land. Then would he rush upon him, but that him did restrain Hildebrand, his uncle, who seized him amain. I ween thou wouldst be witless, by youthful rage misled. My master's favor hadst thou evermore thus forfeited. Let loose the lion, master, that doth rage so sore, if but my sword may reach him, spake Volker furthermore. Though he the world entire by his own might had slain, I'll smite him that an answer never may he chant again. Thereat with anger straightway the men of Bairn were filled. Wulfhart, thane right valiant, grasped in haste his shield, and like to a wild lion, out before them sped, by friends a goodly number, Full quickly was he followed, though by the hall went striding, ne'er so swift the thane, o'ertook him Master Hildebrand, ere he the steps might gain, for nowise would he let him be foremost in the fray. In the stranger warriors, worthy foemen soon found they. Straight saw ye upon Hagen, Rushmaster Hildebrand, and sword ye heard give music in each foeman's hand. Sore they were enraged, as ye soon were aware, for from their swinging broadswords were the ruddy sparks in air. Yet soon the twain were parted in the raging fight. The men of Bern so turned it by their dauntless might. Ere long then was Hildebrand from Hagen turned away, while that the doughty Wolfhart, the valiant Volker, sought to slay. Upon the helm the fiddler he smote with blow so fierce that the sword's keen edges unto the frame did pierce. With mighty stroke repaid him the valiant minstrel too, and so belabored Wolfhart that thick the sparks around him flew. Hewing they made the fire from mail rings scintillate, for each unto the other bore a deadly hate. Of Bairn the thane Wolfvine at length did part the two, which thing might none other than men of mickle prowess do. Gunter, knight full gallant, received with ready hand there the stately warriors of Amelungen land. Eke did young Giselher, of many a helmet bright, with blood all red and reeking, cause to grow full dim the light. Donkvart, Hagen's brother, was a warrior grim, what erstwhile in combat had been wrought by him against the men of Etzel seemed now as toying vain, as fought with flaming ire the son of valiant Aldrian. Richart and Gerbart, Helfrich and Wichart, had oft in storm of battle with valor borne their part, as now for men of Gunter they did clear display. Likewise saw ye Wolfbrand glorious amid the fray. There old Master Hildebrand fought as he were woed. Many a doughty warrior was stricken in the blowed by the sword that's swinging, and Wolfhart's hand was seen. Thus took dire vengeance for Rudiger those knights full keen. Havoc wrought Sir Siegstab there with might and main. Ho in the hurly-burly, what helms he cleft in twain. Upon the crowns of foemen, Dietrich's sister's son, ne'er in storm of battle had he more feats of valor done. When the doughty Volker there aright had seen how many a bloody rivulet was hewn by Siegstab keen, from out the well-wrought mail rings the hero's ire arose. Quick he sprang toward him. Siegstab then his life must lose. Ere long time was over, neath the fiddler's hand, who of his art did give him such share to understand, that beneath his broadsword, smitten to death, he lay. Old Hildebrand avenged him, as bade his mighty arm alway. Alack, that knight so loved, spake Master Hildebrand, here should thus lie fallen, neath Volker's hand. Now lived his latest hour, in sooth this fiddler hath. Filled was the hero Hildebrand, straightway with a mighty wrath. With might smote he Volker, that severed flew the band, and to the hall's wide limit, far on either hand, from shield and eke from helmet, borne by the fiddler keen, therewith the doughty Volker, reft of life at last had been. Pressed eager to the combat, Dietrich's warriors true, smiting that the mail rings afar from harness flew, and that the broken sword points soaring aloft he saw, the while that reeking bloodstains did they from riven helmets draw. There of Tranya Hagen beheld Volker deed, in that so bloody carnage, 'twas far the sorest need of all that did befall him in death of friend and man. Alack, for him what vengeance Hagen then to wreak began. Therefrom shall profit never Master Hildebrand, slain hath been here my helper, neath the warrior's hand, the best of fears in battle that fortune ever sent. His shield upraised he higher, and hewing through the throng he went. Next saw ye Dankwart, by doughty Helfrich slain. Gunter and Giselher did full sorely plain, when they beheld him fallen, where fiercely raged the fray. For his death beforehand, dearly did his foemen pay. The while coursed Wolfhart thither and back again, through Gunter's men before him, hewing wide a lane. Thrice in sooth returning, strode he down the hall, and many a lusty warrior 'neath his doughty hand must fall. Soon the young Giselher cried aloud to him, "Alack that I should ever find such foemen grim! Sir knight so bold and noble, now turn thee here to me. I trow to end thy coursing, the which will I no longer see." To Giselher then turned him Wolfhart in the fight, and gaping wounds full many did each the other smite. With such a mighty fury he to the monarch sped, that 'neath his feet went flying the blood ain high above his head. With rapid blows and furious, the son of Ute fair received the valiant Wolfhart, as came he to him there. How strong soe'er the thane was, his life must ended be. Never king so youthful might bear himself more valiantly. Straight he smote Wolfhart through the well-made cuirass, that from the wound all gaping the flowing blood did pass. Unto death he wounded Dietrich's liegeman true, which thing in sooth might never any save knight full gallant do. When the valiant Wolfhart of the wound was ware, his shield flung he from him, and high with hand and air raised he a mighty weapon, whose keen edge failed not. Through helmet and through mail rings Giselher with might he smote. Grimly each the other there to death had done. Of Dietrich's men no longer lived there ever one. When old Master Hildebrand Wolfhart's fall had seen, in all his life there never such sorrow him befell, I ween. Fallen now were Gunter's warriors every one, and eke the men of Dietrich. Hildebrand the while had gone, where Wolfhart had fallen, down in pool of blood. In his arms then clasped he the warrior of dauntless mood. Forth from the hall to bear him vainly did he try, but all too great the burden, and there he still must lie. The dying knight looked upward from his bloody bed, and saw how that full gladly him his uncle thence had led. Spake he thus mortal wounded, "Uncle full dear to me, thou mayst thou at such season no longer helpful be. To guard thee well from Hagen indeed me seemeth good, for bears he in his bosom a heart in sooth of grimmest mood. And if for me my kinsmen at my death would mourn, unto the best and nearest by thee be message borne, that for me they weep not, of that no whit is need. At hand of valiant monarch here lie I glorious deed. Eke my life so dearly within this hall I've sold, that have sore cause for weeping the wives of warriors bold. If any make thee question, then mayst thou freely say that my own hand 900 warriors hath slain today." Now was Hagen mindful of the minstrel slain, from whom the valiant Hildebrand erstwhile his life had ta'en. Unto the master spake he, "My woes shalt thou repay. Full many a warrior gallant thou hast ta'en from us hence away." He smote upon Hildebrand, that loud was heard the tone of Balmung resounding, that erst did Siegfried own. But Hagen bold did seize it, when he the hero slew. The old warrior did guard him, as he was knight of metal true. Dietrich's doughty liegeman, with broadsword did smite, that did cut full sorely upon Tranya's knight. Yet had the man of Gunther never any harm, through his cuirass well jointed, Hagen smote with mighty arm. Soon as his wound perceived, the aged Hildebrand feared he more of damage to take from Hagen's hand. Across his back full deftly his shield swung Dietrich's man, and wounded deep the hero, in flight for Hagen's fury ran. Now longer lived not any of all that goodly train, save Gunther and Hagen, doughty warriors twain. With blood from wound down streaming, fled master Hildebrand, whom soon in Dietrich's presence saw ye with saddest tidings stand. He found the chieftain sitting, with sorrow all distraught, yet mickle more of sadness unto him he brought, when Dietrich saw how Hildebrand, cuirass all blood-red wore, with fearful heart he questioned what the news to him he bore. Now tell me, Master Hildebrand, how thus wet thou be, from thy life blood flowing, or whoso harmeth thee, in hall against the strangers, thou'st drawn thy sword, I ween, 'twere well my straight denial hereby these had honored been. Replied he to his master, from Hagen cometh all, this deep wound he smote me, there within the hall, when I from his fury thought to turn away, 'tis marvel that I living save me from the fiend this day. Then of Baron spake Dietrich, aright hast thou thy share, for thou didst hear me friendship unto these knights declare, and now the peace hast broken that I to them did give. If my disgrace it were not, by this hand no longer shouldst thou live. Now be not, Master Dietrich, so sorely stirred to wrath. On me and on my kinsmen is wrought too great a scath. Then sought we Rüdiger to bear all peacefully, the which by men of Gunther to us no whit would granted be. Ah, woe is me for sorrow! Is Rüdiger then dead? In all my need there never such grief hath happened. The noble Gotelinda is cousin fair to me. Alack for the poor orphans that there in Beckelaren must be. Grief and anguish filled him, or Rüdiger thus slain, nor might at all the hero the flowing tears restrain. Alack for faithful helper that death from me hath torn, King Etzel's trusty liegeman, never may I cease to mourn. Canst thou, Master Hildebrand, true the tidings say? Who might be the warrior that Rüdiger did slay, that did the doughty Gernot with mighty arm, he said? Eke at hand of Rüdiger lieth the royal hero dead. Spake he again to Hildebrand, now let my warriors know that straightway they shall arm them, for thither will I go, and bid to fetch hither my shining mail to me. Myself those knights will question of the land of Burgundy. Who here shall do thee service? Spake Master Hildebrand. All that thou hast yet living, thou seest before thee stand. Of all remain I only, the others they are dead, as was in sooth good reason, filled the tale his soul with dread. For in his life did never such woe to him befall. He spake, hath death so reft me of my warriors all? God hath forsaken Dietrich. Ah me, a wretched wight! Sometime a lofty monarch I was high-throned in wealth and might. How might it ever happen? Dietrich spake again, that so worthy heroes here should all be slain, by the battle-weary strangers thus beset. Ill fortune me hath chosen, else death had surely spared them yet. Since that fate not further to me would respite give, then tell me of the strangers, doth any longer live? Answered Master Hildebrand, God wot never one, save Hagen and beside him Gunther, lofty king alone. Alack, O faithful Wolfhart, must I thy death now mourn? Soon have I cause to rue me, that ever I was born. Siegstab and Wolfvine, and eke Wolfbrand, who now shall be my helpers in the Amelungenland. Helfrich, thane full valiant, and is he likewise slain? For Gerbart and Vichart, when shall I cease to plain? Of all my life's rejoicing, is this the latest day? Alack, that die for sorrow, never yet a mortal may. End of section 40. Section 41 of the Nibelungenlied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 39th Adventure. How Gunther and Hagen and Kriemhild were slain. Himself did then Sir Dietrich his armor take in hand, to don the which did help him Master Hildebrand. The doughty chieftain meanwhile must make so loud complain that from high palace casement oft came back the sound again. Natheless his proper humor soon he did regain, and armed full in anger stood the worthy thane. A shield all wrought full firmly took he straight in hand, and forth they strode together, he and Master Hildebrand. Spake then of Tronje Hagen, lo, where doth hither wend in wrath his way Sir Dietrich? 'Tis plain he doth intend on us to wreak sore vengeance for harm befallen here. Today be full decided who may the prize for valor bear. Let ne'er of Baron Sir Dietrich hold him so high of might, nor deem his arm so doughty and terrible in fight, that will he wreak his anger on us for sore scath. Such were the words of Hagen. I dare not well withstand his wrath. Upon these words defiant left Dietrich Hildebrand, and to the warriors hither came where both did stand. Without before the palace, and leaning respite found, his shield well proved in battle, Sir Dietrich lowered to the ground. Address to them, Sir Dietrich, these words of sorrowing, wherefore hast thou such evil? Gunther, mighty king, wrought gainst me a stranger, what had I done to thee? Of my every comfort, in such manner reft to be. Seemed then not sufficient the havoc unto you, when from us the hero Rudiger ye slew, that now from me ye've taken my warriors one and all, through me did so great sorrow ne'er to you good knights befall. Of your own selves bethink you, and what the scathe ye bore, the death of your companions and all your travail sore, if not your heart's good warriors thereat do heavy grow, that Rudiger hath fallen. Ah me, how fills my heart with woe! In all this world to any more sorrow ne'er befell, yet have ye minded little my loss and yours as well. Whate'er I most rejoiced in, beneath your hands lies slain. Yea, for my kinsmen fallen, never may I cease to plain. No guilt lies here upon us, Hagen in answer spake. Unto this hall hither your knights there waited take, with goodly train of warriors full armed for the fight. Meseemeth that the story hath not been told to thee aright. What shall I else believe in? To me told Hildebrand how when the knights that serve me of Amelungenland did beg the corse of Rudiger to give them from the hall, naught offered ye but mockings unto the valiant warriors all. Then spake the king of Rhineland, Rudiger to Berrowai, came they in company hither, whose course to them deny. I bade despiting Etzel, nor with aught malice more. Whereupon did Wolfhart begin to rage there at full sore. Then spake a baron the hero, 'twas fated so to be, Yet Gunther, noble monarch, by thy kingly courtesy, amends make for the sorrow thou here on me hast wrought. That so thy knightly honor, still unsullied, be in aught. Then yield to me as hostage, thyself and eke thy man, so will I surely hinder, as with best might I can, that any here in Hunland harm unto thee shall do. Henceforward shalt thou find me ever well disposed and true. God in heaven forfend it, Hagen spake again, that unto thee should yield them ever warriors twain, who in their strength reliant, all armed before thee stand, and yet for foes defiant, may freely swing a blade in hand. So shall ye not, spake Dietrich, proffered peace forswear, Gunther and Hagen, misfortune such I bear, at both your hands 'tis certain ye did but do aright, would ye for so great sorrow, now in my heart in full requite. I give you my sure promise, and pledge thereto my hand, that I will bear you escort home unto your land. With honors fit I'll lead you, thereon my life I set, and for your sake sore evil, suffered at your hands forget. Ask thou such thing no longer, Hagen then replied, for us 'twere little fitting, the tale be bruited wide, that twain of doughty warriors did yield them neath thy hand. Beside thee is none other, now but only Hildebrand. Then answered Master Hildebrand, the hour may come, God wot, Sir Hagen, when thus lightly, disdain it thou shalt not, if any man such offer of peace shall make to thee. Welcome might now my master's reconciliation be. I take, in sooth, his friendship, Hagen gave reply, ere that I so basely forth from a hall would fly, as thou hast done but lately, O Master Hildebrand, I weened with greater valor, couldst thou for a foeman stand. Thereto gave answer Hildebrand, from thee reproach like that? Who was then on shield so idle, for the Waskenstein that sat? The while that Spanish vaulter, friend after friend laid low, such valor thou in plenty hast in thine own self to show. Outspake then Sir Dietrich, ill fits it, warriors bold, that they one another, like old wives, should scold. Thee forbid I, Hildebrand, ought to parley more. Ah me, most sad misfortune weigheth on my heart full sore. Let me hear, Sir Hagen, Dietrich further spake, what boast ye doughty warriors did there together make, when that ye saw me hither come with sword in hand, thought ye then not singly me in combat to withstand? In sooth denieth no one, bold Sir Hagen spake, that of the same with sword blow I would trial make, and but the sword of Nibelung burst not within my hand. Yea, scorn I that to yield us, thus haughtily thou makest demand. When Dietrich now perceived how Hagen raged amain, raise his shield full quickly, did the doughty thane. As quick upon him Hagen, adown the Perrin sprang, and the trusty sword of Nibelung full loud on Dietrich's armor rang. Then knew full well Sir Dietrich that the warrior keen, savage was of humor, and best himself to screen, sought of Baron the hero from many a murderous blow, whereby the valiant Hagen straightway came he well to know. Eke fear he had of Balmung, a strong and trusty blade, each blow meanwhile Sir Dietrich with cunning art repaid, till that he dealt to Hagen a wound both deep and long, whereat give o'er the struggle must the valiant knight unstrong. Bethought him then Sir Dietrich, through toil thy strength has fled, and little honor had I shouldst thou lie before me dead. So will I yet make trial, if I may not subdue thee unto me as hostage, light task 'twas not the same to do. his shield down cast he from him, and with what strength he found, about the knight of Tranya, fast his arms he wound, in such wise was subdued by him the doughty knight. Gunther, the noble monarch, did weep to see his sorry plight. Beidhagen then did Dietrich, and led him where did stand, Kriemhild, the royal lady, and gave into her hand, of all the bravest warrior that ever weapon bore. After her mickle sorrow had she merry heart once more. For joy before Sir Dietrich bent royal Etzel's wife, blessed be thou ever, in heart while lasteth life. Through thee is now forgotten all my dire need, and death do not prevent me, from me shall ever be thy meed. Then spake to her Sir Dietrich, take not his life away, high and royal lady, for full will he repay thee for the mickle evil on thee have wrought his hands. Be it not his misfortune that bound before thee here he stands. Then bade she forth lead Hagen to dungeon keep nearby, wherein he lay fast bolted and hid from every eye. Gunther, the noble monarch, with loudest voice did say, the knight of Bern who wrongs me, whither hath he fled away? Meanwhile, back towards him, the doughty Dietrich came, and found the royal Gunther, a knight of worthy name. Eke he might bide longer, but down to meet him sprang, and soon with angry clamor their swords before the palace rang. How famed soe'er Sir Dietrich, and great the name he bore, with wrath was filled King Gunther, and eke did rage full sore, at thought of grievous sorrow suffered at his hand. Still tell they as high wonder how Dietrich might his blows withstand. In store of doughty valor, each did nothing lack. From palace and from tower, the din of blows came back, as on well-fastened helmets the lusty swords came down. And royal Gunther's valor in the fight full clear was shown. The knight of Bern yet tamed him, as Hagen erst befell, and oozing through his armor, the blood was seen to swell from cut of sharpest weapon and Dietrich's arm that swung. Right worthily King Gunther had borne him after labors long. Bound was then the monarch by Sir Dietrich's hand, albeit bonds should suffer, ne'er king of any land. But deemed he if King Gunther and Hagen yet were free, secure might never any from their searching vengeance be. When in such manner Dietrich the king secure had bound, by the hand he led him, where Kriemhild he found, at sight of his misfortune did sorrow from her flee. Quoth she, welcome, Gunther, from out the land of Burgundy. He spake, then might I thank thee, sister of high degree, when that some whit more gracious might thy greeting be. So angry art thou minded ever yet, O queen, full spare shall be thy greeting to Hagen and to me, I ween. Then spake a baron the hero, ne'er till now, O queen, given o'er as hostage, have knights so worthy been, as I, O lofty lady, in these have given to thee. I pray thee, higher evils, to spare them now for sake of me. She vowed to do it gladly. Then forth Sir Dietrich went, with weeping eyes to see there such knights' imprisonment. In grimmest ways thereafter wreaked vengeance Etzel's wife. Beneath her hand those chosen warriors twain must end their life. She let them lie asunder, the less at ease to be, nor did each the other thenceforward ever see, till that unto Hagen her brother's head she bore. In sooth did Kriemhild vengeance wreak upon the twain full sore. Forth where she should find Hagen, the queen her way did take, and in right angry manner she to the warrior spake, and thou wilt but restore me that thou hast ta'en from me, so mayst thou come yet living, home to the land of Burgundy. Answered thereto Grimhagen, 'Twere well thy breath to save, full high and royal lady, sworn by my troth I have, that I the hoard will tell not, the while that yet doth live, of my masters any, the treasure unto none I'll give.' Then ended be the story, the noble lady spake. She bade them from her brother straightway his life to take. His head they struck from off him, which by the hair she bore, unto the thane of Tranya. Thereat did grieve the knight full sore. When that he in horror his master's head had seen, cried the doughty warrior unto Kriemhild the queen, 'Now is thy heart's desire at length accomplished, and eke hath all befallen, as my foreboding heart hath said. Dead lieth now the noble king of Burgundy, also youthful Giselher, and Sir Gernot eke doth he. The treasure no one knoweth, but God and me alone, nor e'er by thee she devil shall its hiding place be known.' Quoth she, 'But ill requital hast thou made to me, yet mine the sword of Siegfried now henceforth shall be, the which when last I saw him my loved husband bore, in whom on me such sorrow through guilt of thine doth weigh full sore.' She drew it from the scabbard, nor might he say her nay, though thought she from the warrior his life to take away. With both hands high she raised it, and off his head struck she, whereat did grieve King Etzel full sore the sorry sight to see. 'To arms!' cried then the monarch. 'Here lieth foully slain, beneath the hand of woman, of all the doughtiest thane that e'er was seen in battle, or ever good shield bore. Though foeman howsoever, yet grieveth this my heart full sore.' Quoth then the aged Hildebrand, 'Reap no gain she shall, that thus she dared to slay him, whate'er to me befell. And though myself in direst need through him have been, by me shall be avenged the death of Tranya's knightful keen.' In wrathful mood then Hildebrand unto Kriemhild sprung, and gainst the queen full swiftly his massy blade he swung. Aloud she then in terror for Hildebrand did wail, yet that she shrieked so loudly, to save her what might that avail? So all those warriors fated by hand of death lay strewn, and e'en the queen full lofty in pieces eke was hewn. Dietrich and royal Etzel at length to weep began, and grievously they mourned kinsmen slain and many a man, who late stood high in honor, now in death lay low, and fate of all the people weeping was and woe. To mourning now the monarch's festal tide had passed, as falls that joy to sorrow turneth ever at the last. Nor can I tell you further what later did befall, but that good knights and ladies saw ye mourning all, and many a noble squire for friends in death laid low. Here hath the story ending, that is the Nibelungen woe. End of section 41. End of the Nibelungen Lied, translated by George Henry Needler.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.